Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hello.
Hey, looking at the subject of legacy and the different kinds of legacy. We looked quite a bit last week at the monetary aspect. We'll be getting into the spiritual and personal aspects of legacy.
Yeah.
And how most estate plans really don't address a lot of these issues that you do with your practice.
Right. And last week we talked about the monetary aspect of legacy. That is something that maybe we think about most naturally if we think about estate planning, that the estate plan is supposed to move the money. And so, therefore, that is a legacy. But my proposition is that we need to seek after the heartbeat of God and ask Him, what is it that you desire for me to do with this last act of stewardship? Where am I supposed to place the finances, and in what manner are the finances to be distributed, whether it's to kids, whether it's to organizations, the church, missionaries? There's just so many options across the board. And in looking at the monetary legacy, with that first step of seeking after the heartbeat of God, then the second step would be, what is the truth about the beneficiary? So in other words, we need to take a moment and pull back the curtain and really evaluate the beneficiaries. That, again, that may be our children, that may be our church, it may be other individuals. How do they really manage money? And do they manage it in a way that aligns with the vision and the purposes that God just gave me for stewardship? How much are we to use to build the kingdom with our last act of stewardship versus just giving it to our kids or to our family members? So these are hard wrestling questions. It takes some work on our part, and it takes a heart that is open to listening to what God's purposes are. And sometimes those are going to conflict with our own emotions and with our own thought patterns, right? Because the world system is just give it to the kids and que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. But that may not be the passion of your father. So therefore, we need to seek after God. We need to look and take an assessment of who is going to receive it, and are those blending together to ensure that legacy will really take place as your Heavenly Father gave it to you. So that was a little bit of what we talked about. Of course, you can get that podcast and that discussion at legacyandfaith.com if you head back to the website. It's there. So take a peek on what does it mean to leave a monetary legacy that we discussed last week.
Well, in wrapping up the monetary legacy discussion, though, what would one thing be that you would tell your kids, your grandchildren, maybe your church about money? What's like the one thought you want to?
Yeah, and that's really a question that for the listening audience, that when we think through legacy, we need to be thinking about questions beyond who gets the money. So what does it mean to actually leave something about your monetary view? So what is one thing that you would want to tell your kids about managing or talking about money? See, I know what mine is right out of the gate.
So it'd be different for different people.
Oh, it absolutely would be. It would absolutely be different. If I were to ask my parents this question, and I've asked many clients this question, because of their age and what they grew up in, they may have very strong, good advice, such as, don't spend more than you make. Well, that sounds really simple, except that anyone that's my age or younger tends to forget that part of financial responsibility. So that could be extremely strong. You know, Paul Grant, I'll give listeners a peek, which is be radically generous. That would be the one thing that if I could tell my girls that to live their life by it is be radically generous. Be generous on every occasion. Trust God in your generosity. Seek after Him of not how do I keep money, but how do I dispose of finances to build His purposes. Be radically generous. Now, those are very different thought processes, which is don't spend more than what you make versus be radically generous. Are both of those things probably really good advice? Absolutely. So make a laundry list of good advice. But if we think through what legacy and monetary legacy, we have to ask ourselves some of these questions. And that's really how we're positioned, which is that's why it's called the Legacy and Faith Show. We have what's called the Legacy and Maintenance Program in our firm. And the reason it's called the Legacy and Maintenance Program is because relationship matters, and we have an ongoing relationship with clients, and we talk about legacy, where we can uncover questions like this so that we can pass with finances, we can pass wisdom of finances along with the money instead of just passing a check, which is what most estates do. So is there a gap in estate planning? There's a massive gap. There's a massive gap between true legacy and actually documents that just simply move money. So our heart, our passion is how do we develop a legacy with every aspect instead of just passing money? And a question like this, what would you tell? What's one thing that you would tell your kids about finances, your financial wisdom, that if they were to actually walk out that in their life, that you believe they would be better off financially with compared to living without that advice? Or your grandkids, because it could be something different for your grandkids. Or what would you tell your church about finances? So there's different places where your voice may have very strong receptivity, and where your words of wisdom could be very powerful and change the trajectory of financial legacy for somebody. So don't hold back. Write down some of these things with what is it that you would want to tell your children? What is it that you'd want to tell your grandchildren? What is it that you would tell a nonprofit organization or your church about financial legacy?
Okay, well, moving on to the spiritual legacy, what does it mean to leave a spiritual legacy? And can this really be addressed with your estate plan?
Wow. And so this is a loaded question because, boy, I'm still walking this journey of learning what it means to leave a spiritual legacy. I think that's the one thing that we're all doing, is that we're in a journey with spiritual legacy. What does it really mean? And I mentioned in last week's discussion that if you talk about spiritual legacy, you could write volumes of books on this. As a matter of fact, you could Google the darn thing, and there's probably a ton on Google. There's probably already books about much smarter people than me who have already written on it, who have devoted time, energy, and passion beyond what I've been able to think about. And so there's probably a lot on this topic. But I'm going to go to just one place really quick, and I just want us to listen to what Paul wrote Timothy. And it's found in 2 Timothy. And in verse 5, he says, when I call to remembrance, so he at the beginning goes, I greatly desire in the previous verse that I might be filled with joy. And then in verse 5, he goes, when I remember the sincere faith that is in you, which was first found in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded it is in you also. Okay, so let's talk about legacy, spiritual legacy. I think this is an amazing, maybe often missed scripture when we talk about spiritual legacy. Really, that what Paul is talking about here in this unfeigned, so the King James Version uses the word unfeigned. The New King James uses the word sincere. So that word in the Greek means that it was genuine and it was declared. So let's think about those words, which is my first encouragement when we think about spiritual legacy, is that our faith needs to be genuine and it needs to be proclaimed. See, an unproclaimed faith really has no power or no effect. So what is it about our lives that we have been demonstrating to a dying world lately? What is it that we have been proclaiming to our children, to our grandchildren, to those around us in our church, to those in a dying world? What declaration has your faith been speaking? So is it a declaration of commitment? Is it a declaration of holiness and righteousness? Is it a declaration of kindness and good deeds and everything that we know that we're supposed to be doing, but are we actually living out what we proclaim is our faith? So the first thing about 2 Timothy that jumps out at me is that there was a history of individuals that proclaimed and declared their faith. Now, let's think about this. This is the New Testament, which means that Timothy's grandmother proclaimed faithfulness before Jesus. Because we get confused sometimes that actually Timothy's grandmother would have been alive and proclaimed her faith faithfully before Christ was ever on this earth. And so proclaiming the goodness and the mercy and the kindness of God, and yet in her faith, she was proclaimed to be faithful with it in this scripture, and that it was passed down to her mother, to Timothy's mother. So it was passed down to the next generation. And then from there, it was passed down again to Timothy. And so faithfulness matters. Faithfulness matters as we do this journey called Christianity. It definitively matters. And I'm concerned that in our current society, faithfulness is hard to find. It's easier to be ruled by our emotions. It's easier to be captured with the next vacation. It is easier to be captured with our daily lives of what we are supposed to do instead of making sure that our hearts are aligned with faithfulness to the gospel. And so this really demonstrates this small point. I mean, one portion of scripture, one line of scripture proclaims loudly to me, which is it requires faithfulness in demonstrating and proclaiming where we are at and what we are doing. Do you know that our witness of stability and faithfulness is being recognized? And so stay on the journey of faithfulness. Stay on the journey of being devoted to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it will matter. Sometimes we can use less words and actually use a lot more faithfulness by demonstrating what we believe instead of talking about what we believe. Now, we need words. We need to proclaim with our voice, not just our actions, so that could be flipped, which is, oh, if I just act nice, people will know I'm a Christian. Nope, we got to use them both. They need to both be utilized simultaneously, but not just one over the other. We need to be faithful in speech, and we need to be faithful in our commitment to what we are focused on. How do we serve our church? How do we serve our family? And can righteousness be found in our lives? So the first thing in building a spiritual legacy, and I'm just going to wrap it up here with this one small section. You can find a lot more than what I've just talked about. But the first thing in spiritual legacy that jumped out at me was faithfulness to the gospel. And I want to live a life where anyone who looks at my life goes, I know who he's following. I want my life to demonstrate it clearly. And so my challenge and my encouragement back to the body of Christ is we need to be committed solely and full-heartedly to the things of the kingdom of God. And by that will start our spiritual legacy.
Okay, different aspects of what it means to leave a legacy in your estate planning, monetary, spiritual, and I guess we'll move on to personal legacy after the break here. People are intrigued by your approach. Paul, how do they get in touch with you?
Head over to legacyandfaith.com. There's upcoming educational workshop, past podcasts, ways to get a hold of us, legacyandfaith.com.
Back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Can I avoid probate? Will I lose everything if my health becomes compromised? How do I preserve what I have for me and my family? Will the government take it all? This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. These are some of the most common questions we get on a daily basis, and there are solutions for all of these issues. It is time for you to protect your family and what God has placed under your stewardship, and we can help. Go to legacyandfaith.com to find out more about our services and upcoming educational opportunities. That's legacyandfaith.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland this week, Paul looking at the subject of legacy, monetary, spiritual, and personal. We'll move on to personal legacy in just a moment, how you address that in an estate plan. And can you leave spiritual legacy in estate plans, Paul?
Well, and it's a little bit of a trick question, isn't it? Mm. Is that an estate plan should give you your voice on all different levels. The estate planning world has unfortunately limited it to just money. And so then it's focused on the monetary legacy, and it leaves out spiritual and it leaves out personal to a large degree. Can you leave a spiritual legacy through an estate plan? Yes, because you can give words of spiritual life to the next generation as it's attached to the finances. So much like we were talking about, what's one thing you would tell your kids about money that if they followed, you believe they'd be better off with? We could put that in a document. Well, we could also put, what's a spiritual legacy? What are the spiritual things that you want them to be thinking about as they also live life and have this thing called finances wrapped around it? So it doesn't have to be absent. Estate planning should capture your voice on multiple different levels. And that can mean that we leave spiritual thoughts and spiritual direction in the estate plan as it's attached to finances. So, yes, I actually do believe that you can leave a spiritual legacy in good, strong estate plan. They don't have to be separated. They can be tied together. It's just your voice. The question is, have you found somebody who will take the time and pull that voice out of you so that we can get it into a document and pass it on as a family legacy in totality? So, yes, I believe that we can use our voice better in estate planning.
Okay. Okay, well, let's kind of get into the third section here then, a personal legacy. How do you put personal legacy into an estate plan?
Yeah, personal legacy is really talking about who are you and what are your stories. Again, if I die, I take everything with me, not my money, right, but I take my spiritual legacy and I take all the stories of my life that took me to this place and made me the man that I am today. And so the question is, what are your stories? Where did you come from? Where did your family come from? So what is the story behind who you are today? Do you know that statistically, I like statistics, that my generation, so I'm in my 50s. I know I sound so much younger. It's amazing. Okay, so I'm in my 50s, and down in the 20s, through these different age gaps, do you know that my age and younger are far more concerned with preserving the stories of our parents than actually receiving the money of our parents? And this plays out almost across the board in anything that I have read. As a matter of fact, it's almost into the 80 percentile that would rather preserve a story of life than receive the monetary benefit. And isn't it interesting that the entire estate planning world is only concerned with money? How do I pass money on? And yet, what your kids actually yearn for are your stories. They want to try to remember your childhood because they didn't live it. And there's valuable things in those storylines about how you became who you are. And that becomes then who I am because my parents raised me for good or for bad. And their story has now influenced my story. And in understanding my story, the more I understand about their story, it makes better sense of who I am. So your story matters. Your raising matters. The experiences that you went through financially, the struggles that you went through spiritually, the marriage that you went through, this all matters because it became my story because of your story. So a personal legacy is really talking about if you were to die, what are the things that nobody could ever hear again? What is lost when you pass away? And there is a greater desire for that than there is the money. So we need to create estate plans that leave a personal legacy, not just a money legacy. And of course, that blends in also with your spiritual story. That's a spiritual legacy. Part of your spiritual legacy is also telling the journey, right? Revelation says that we've overcome him. We've overcome the enemy. We've overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Your testimony matters. What has God done in your life encourages those that we leave behind, and it's not just for today. That actually matters greatly to the next generations. And yet, I'm concerned that maybe most people out there feel like they don't have much of a story to tell. Well, I just grew up. No, there's things that shaped you. And then when you were shaped, you had kids and you shaped that generation. So it all blends together. And for me to understand myself, I need to understand my parents more and understand the next generation beyond that. And so the stories matter. The legacy matters. And so what will be lost if you were to die today? What story could not be ever be told again? And that is actually a personal legacy. We can capture those stories. We can capture those things in good estate planning. Mm. And we need to capture
those things. So, for instance, how would you put that kind of thing into an estate plan?
Well,
like you will talk about this or that or the other thing every year and remember it. And I'm not sure.
Maybe not quite to that degree, Mark, but capturing the stories, capturing the thought processes, yes, that may not end up in a will and it may not end up in a trust. Mm. Okay, so it may not end up in the final disposition document.
Okay.
But actually developing a more holistic thought process of what is true legacy, what are we truly trying to pass? Mm. Yes, the legal documents capture the finances. And it can also be the storyline of that are placed into trust of so that when somebody goes and looks at how their trust is to be managed, how much more powerful would it be to have a couple paragraphs about your thoughts of money or your thoughts of spiritual journey concerning money, or this is what created me and my thought pattern, so that, yes, they can be a continual remembrance.
Would this be like the place for like some kind of an endowment or whatever to go to a certain charity to carry on a certain kind of work?
It could definitely be something like that, yes.
Like a music scholarship or something like that?
Absolutely. And so if people have a heart and a passion to leave things to an endowment or to missions or to their church, how much more powerful would it be to have a story of why those finances are being given with the story? That matters so much more. Mm. So I have a baseball, and it is autographed by a baseball player, Ron Say. He was the third baseman in the 70s for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Now, if my kids came across that baseball, number one, they wouldn't have any idea who Ron Say is. And number two, they'd look at this and go, I don't know what to do with it. But what if I told them the story behind that baseball? What if I told them that my dad actually coached Ron Say and that had a relationship with him, made a difference in his life, and that that baseball actually represents my childhood growing up because my dad played professional baseball. Mm. He was a scout for the Philadelphia Phillies. And some of my fondest memories are me jumping in the car with my dad. Some of my most vivid childhood memories are being with my dad on a road trip, going to watch somebody who was playing baseball. Mm. So now does that baseball have more meaning? Mm. And that's what personal legacy means. It means uncovering the story behind the object and not losing it. Mm. We need a personal legacy. And yes, good estate planning should focus on monetary, on spiritual, and on personal legacy combined.
Okay, it can all combine into a wonderful estate plan if you maybe use the services of Paul Grant. How do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, there's upcoming educational opportunities and ways to communicate with us, legacyandfaith.com.
It's the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.